This I'm going to need you to talk me through. How could this possibly go wrong?
You've made me laugh and you've shit me up. This fucker sold me on this book so hard.
There's a map at the beginning. I ain't reading it.
This is boring.
No, we don't talk about it. We completely and utterly fucking ignore it, bastards. People out there are going, what the fuck?
This is the stuff I want to hear from a podcast.
I fucking loved it. I thought it was brilliant. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Two Crones and a Book with your host, myself, Shell, and the wonderful, fabulous, truly fantastical...
Wait, it's me, it's Annette!
Annette. Delayed reaction there because she zoned out, I'm sure.
I wasn't used, I wasn't ready for the compliment.
Well, do you know, share the love. today we're doing a review on Pen Pal by Dathan Auerbach, which is a horror novel. I read this and I mentioned it to Annette and I said that I needed someone else to read it. And that normally means one of two things. So Annette, with her trust issues, assumed it was the worst of those two things. But Annette, what research, firstly, have you done? What wonderful research have you deep dived and found out?
Yes, so I had a little route around. There's not that much about Dathan Auerbach online. What I do know is he was born in the southern US.
Yep.
He's lived there for most of his life. And then in 2011, he started posting a series of short stories to the No Sleep subreddit page.
Yep.
And then it was eventually adapted for the No Sleep podcast in their debut season in 2011. And due to its popularity, Auerbach, with the help of crowdfunding, which he got 100% of, self-published the novelization and thus begat Pen Pal, released on July 11th, 2012, which then led to the film rights being optioned in 2012 as well, but we haven't had any news since then.
Right, okay. Would you like the synopsis?
I think I could take myself back there again. Ay, ay, ay.
Okay. In an attempt to make sense of his own mysterious and unsettling childhood memories, a man begins to reconstruct his past. As the games and adventures of his youth become engulfed by a larger story, he finds that it forms a tapestry of unbelievable horror that he never could have expected. Each chapter completes a different piece of the puzzle for both you and the narrator, and by the end of it all, you wish that you could forget what he ever knew. Now, I did the paperback, which was 252 pages. It isn't on Audible. Annette, did you do Kindle or paperback?
I did this on Kindle, actually.
On Kindle. I'm going to say that this book utterly, totally knocked me for six. When I finish a book, I normally close the book and I might think that was good, that wasn't so great. I put the book in the to-be-passed-on pile or away, make a cup of tea, start thinking about what I'm going to read next. I closed this fucking book and sat there just staring into space for a good 5-10 minutes. I can't remember the last time that a book has stuck with me for so long. And I immediately messaged Annette and said, I wish that you had read this. Which is at which point Annette was hesitant, because that's where I either have lined her up for something awful or something amazing.
Well, to be honest, the last time you actually did this is because you had to put the book in your trunk of your car in the middle of the night in nothing but a t-shirt and knickers because you thought it was possessed.
I did.
So you can imagine my apprehension.
If anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, scroll back through the previous pods and look for the review we did on Whisper Down the Lane.
Sorry, I'm going to choke throughout this. Oh my God. Yeah, that was the experience when you're just out for a morning stroll with the dog and you get the message. Whatever you were going to read next, don't do it. Please read this now. And I was like, do you know what? Fine. No problem. I'll do it.
I loved that you just went with it. Yeah.
Sure, fair enough. Then I got the explanation later that day. I was like, okay. It's not the weirdest conversation we've ever had.
No, and I just love your lack of judgment.
It's been too long, honey. Too long. Too many years.
Did you like it?
Well, because initially this was going to be one of your summer shuffle picks, so yeah. I knew it had to be something special if you were going to, you know, it wasn't like she said we need to do it the episode. It was the kind of around the houses. Oh, it was really good. I wish you'd read it. We could have been a great episode. Like we could swap it. We'll swap it. Right, we did it. So. Read this book. Michelle's reaction, as she's just explained, my reaction was when I closed this book, I actually, no word of a lie, physically cried.
I'm so pleased.
I was in tears. I don't think I've ever cried at a book before, to the point my husband came upstairs and I was under the covers. It was like in the afternoon because I had a feeling there was no way I should finish this. At all at night.
Before bed.
I think I'd done it. I'd read the book and all those pages, which is a fair chunk-ish.
Yep.
I did it, I think, in three or four sittings. About three sittings. One of which I just ploughed through the night and it was like, I'd laid awake thinking that night. I was like, no, I need to finish it during the day. And I sat there in the mid-afternoon under a blanket, tears streaming. My husband walks in and goes, what are you doing in bed? You don't understand. You've not read this. I'm traumatized. And I was inconsolable for about a good half hour. So, I could say it's a pretty good book if you really want, you know, want a bit of emotional damage of an afternoon. It is really good. It's so well written.
Wasn't it? You're so fucking invested in it as you go along.
Oh my God. Oh my God. He had me from the get.
Yeah.
The description in the beginning of the book where he's explaining, he's almost like explaining what you're in for with the style of writing he does it.
Yeah.
So the reference is immediately to what memory is and what a child's memory versus your adult memory is, and trying to stay true to that as it's experienced is very difficult, but yet clever and not infantilized at all.
No.
It's still quite mature, but honest.
Yeah.
And I really thoroughly appreciate that. So I think it really helped having that little description at the beginning.
Yeah.
Of what truth is and how it's perceived and memory. And it just took it to a whole different level for me because we are so used to reading into things.
Yes.
And then to kind of like, you could almost read this book twice in the way of just try to read it blanket as fact,
yeah,
as it's written. But you can't because your head's constantly trying to fill in the gaps. But then maybe in the second read, if I could try and do it without doing that. But I don't know. I think, you could read it one of two ways.
Yeah, for sure. This, for me, it was, I loved, one of the things I loved about it is when he is recounting his memories, they are a childhood memory. So they're told from a child's perspective.
Yeah.
So you've got this kid is not completely, but is oblivious to some of the things that are tallying up and that are going on around him. Whereas we as adults, you're straight away thinking, hang on a minute, that's a red flag. Oh no, that's a red flag. And the behavior of some of the adults around him, particularly his mum, is you can tell as an adult, for someone who has cared for little people, you are immediately sympathizing with her, and you, although it's not very clear on what she's doing and why she's doing it, you as an adult are knowing that there's something there. You know, she's doing that for a reason. She's protecting him for a reason. These are things that she's putting in place to keep him safe. But he's oblivious to that because it starts when he's really, really young. And I liked and really appreciated how his growing up and maturing was reflected in the descriptions and recollections that you were getting from his childhood, because that's how your perspective changes. And that was really hard thing to do, but really subtle.
Yes, like maintaining that same voice, but obviously where it's matured and there's more detail entering. Yeah, definitely.
I think, although we'll give some spoilers, this is a... We've got some key points noted down that were... Mm-hmm. relevant from the book, but I think that to fully appreciate this book, you've got to read it. And I am telling every single person that I know to read it. There was some, because you had this as well, there was some floating around that this was on par with Playground.
Yes, it was. Because I think it was probably October through to December last year on TikTok.
Yeah,
there was a lot on the book talk. They were referred to in the same, not the same banner, but like in the same context, like people were reading these particular books were hot at the time. So even though I was aware of Pen Pal via the TikToks, but then I'd always seen it in reviews along with like, this was disturbing, but not realizing how very different away from Playground it was. So when I heard you say that you had been gifted this.
By my 15-year-old niece.
I put my feet up and started laughing my ass off, thinking she's going to get Playground Part 2. Here we go. And I got the complete opposite. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, that's how I learnt about it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a trillion miles away from Playground. It is unsettling.
Yep.
It does contain some things that people might find triggering, although not overly what I would consider graphic. It's certainly not like Playground. There are challenging and unsettling themes in this book, which we'll kind of cover.
I would say if you could describe it as this book as a feeling, it's that, you know, when you know something's not right, you get that kind of...
Yes.
Prickles on the back of your neck and that kind of hum in your ears.
Yeah.
Like everything, silence is so loud because you know this is not a safe space.
Yeah. It's that waiting at a bus stop late at night when you're own kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you just stood, suddenly it's very quiet at wherever you are, and you've just got that feeling that you're not on your own.
Yes. Yeah. You don't know why, but yeah.
Yeah, there's no one there and you don't know why you feel it, but you feel it. And that kind of is the feel throughout. And you
page by bloody
it.
Page, yeah.
So if you're prepared for the over the shoulder for, like, what was it, 252 pages, come join us. It's well worth it.
I mean, we'll delve into some of, I think we drilled it down to about 7 points. Are you happy for me to do my normal ranting in it? I know that sometimes I can get carried away. Are you happy for me to start working through the 7 points? We will say we're not going to do full spoiler floor, but the following is spoilers.
Yes, but at the same time, like Michelle said before, we so want you to read this that we're going to go as light as possible for us on this.
Cool.
But yes, Michelle, let's go with the 7 points.
Cool. Okay, so point number one, the beginning.
Dun, dun, dun.
So it starts off where, as Annette's already said, he recounts his experiences as a child with his kindergarten pen pal. So when he's at school, they do this thing in the class, which I remember we did something similar. Looking back on it now, it's talk about fucking stranger danger, turn out. Where they blow up these helium balloons, they attach a note with the address of the school asking people, if you find this, can you please write back? And they include $1 for postage. And it's kind of to try and map out how far the balloons can go and stuff like that. So it's innocent in its intention. But knowing the world as we know the world now, it's not a very good idea and we don't recommend it to anybody.
Hello.
But that's what he's doing. So he's in kindergarten, I think it is, and he does this project and he sets it off. And then what happens is all his mates start getting, well, not all of his mates, but a lot of his mates in the class start getting letters back from their pen pals, and they get pinned to the wall on the map so you can see how far they've gone. And he doesn't get anything. And then he does get something towards the end of the project, but it's just a photo with no name, no return address. It's just a photo. And then he starts to get lots of other photos. And again, he can't work out because they're not really of anything or anyone. And that kind of begins to set the tone of that you're thinking, oh, okay. and it's just tackling. So you get that, and he's got this friend. No, he hasn't got a friend. We'll cut that bit out. That's later at school, isn't it? And then he goes back home, and at the end of the school year, he's got, like, I think it's about 50 photos or something. It's a whole box. And he randomly starts putting these photos together and realises that he's in every single photo. Somewhere in there, he's in every single photo. Now, this is a tiny, tiny little person. Then, you know, some creepy stuff starts happening. You get some warning signs, which we won't go into, and his mum begins to react in a certain way. One of the key moments here is they get an envelope with another photo in it, and it's not to the school, it's to the home address. But one of the things that he can't work out as a kid is why his mum's freaking out. So as he's recounting this memory, he can't quite work it out, and he thinks he's in trouble. But it boils down to his mum turns around and says to him, there's no address on the envelope. So it was hand delivered. Yeah. There's some other significant bits. So he wakes up one night and he's not at home, and he's no recollection of how he wakes up in the forest, and he's no recollection of how he gets there. Yep. Really, really significant relationship for him in this book is his mate, Josh. Oh, Josh.
Yeah, we didn't point out the fact you do not know the narrator's name.
No, you don't.
Did we? We do not know who it is who is telling us this story.
All the
so
way through.
So it's not better throw that one in there. Yeah.
He's got this mate, Josh, and they're growing up together, and they're really, really close. And he ends up having to move away. I don't know how significant we go. Okay, we'll give you a level of creep. He sets up a lemonade stall with his best mate, who he absolutely adores, and they're thick as thieves. And he sets it up, and they charge $1 for the lemonade. And at the end, they count it up and they divvy it out. Now, when he sent his balloon off with his dollar bill on it, he was the only one in the class who wrote on it 4 stamps.
Yes.
Now, when they're counting up this cash to divvy it up at the end of the day after their lemonade stall, one of the dollars says 4 stamps.
Yeah.
So he thinks it's a bit weird, and it's a bit, oh, gosh, you know, and doesn't...
He does. My heart dropped into my arsehole when I read that
and
bit.
And this is what I mean by, as an adult, listening, you know, if your kid came home and told you something like that, you'd be, what, darling?
Okay, well, you're going to be living in a safe room for the rest of your life.
And
where I would be set outside with an armoury.
It's so clever that there was this level of delivery in the story that was so blasé from a childhood memory of, oh, that's a little bit odd. But as an adult, you were going, no, no, no.
Red flag. Band down the hatches, we've got a plan.
And it continues on like that. Now, there's lots of other stuff. There's a neighbour. There's a significant thing with a neighbour when they move, because the mum goes looking for the cat underneath the house. Something happens underneath the house. Next thing you know, they're moving, which separates him a little bit from Josh. But they kind of stay in touch, and they see each other every weekend.
Yeah.
That really, really dwindles after an event when a cat goes missing.
Which we're not going to
go into.
We're not going to go into detail.
It carries on into his teenage years.
Yeah.
And there is this constant, regular drip feed of uneasy terror in the things that he is recalling.
Yes.
When he gets to a certain point after something absolutely fucking awful happens, well, it's all awful. I can't lie.
It's all awful. I mean, everything's awful, awful, awful. There are so many significant stories that if we went into any parts of it, we would honestly, they go so on and in depth, and it's taking away from the list from you guys if we describe any. This is why we warned you. We're going to be really patchy with this
one. And it's on purpose. It's because you need to go and fucking read it.
Yes.
And yeah, so one other example that I will give that I thought was really clever, just to give you a feel of the book, is someone has gone missing and he's recounting someone taking the phone calls for missing person. And there's a subtle drop in there of a woman, and it's thrown into this mass of other information. And this is why you've got to pay attention when you're reading it. And there's a subtle drop in there where a woman rings up this line and says, "Have you considered the stalking case from 6 years ago?" Which is an indication of his stalking case. And if you read the book and keep that in mind, there's so many other things that make sense off of that. But it was so subtle. It was one line dropped in a chapter that you think, fuck, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, you're going to be having, there's going to be pictures on the wall, pieces of string.
Yeah.
You're going to have thumbtacks linking what to what story to what story. And it's all going to, that's what's happening in your head. I'm almost tempted to do it on my wall now, just to re-go through it all. How it all links. It's like, oh my God, it all makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah. And the end of the book is when he's having a conversation with his mum, and he's saying to his mum, no, I want to know the truth. I want to know what was happening, blah, blah, blah. And the mum fills in the gaps, shall we say.
And the change of tone is what really got me.
Yeah.
For someone who was fully compass mentis about what happened and what was happening throughout. And hearing that description is almost like you want to be back in his brain rather than hers.
And it's, I mean, then you get this, it's one of those books, and there aren't many that have the power to do that, although lots try, but it's one of those books where those last few pages, you're looking at what's left number-wise, page number-wise, and you're thinking, there is no way you're going to round this off. There's got to be a sequel or something. But it's just this massive bomb drop.
Trauma dump. Yeah. Trauma dump.
And I felt deeply, deeply upset for almost every, so felt, every character in that book except the stalker.
Yeah, obviously that's the only one.
I felt for his mum, because his mum's actions 100% understand why she did what she did.
Yeah.
His mate's sister, his mate's mum, his mate's dad, his
mate's father,
he's the neighbour that's halfway through the book. And I honestly, I closed this and thought, fuck. I was forlorn and just sat there staring into space for a good 5-10 minutes thinking, I didn't just read that. I didn't. Oh my God. And for days afterwards, not because I was unsettled, although it is unsettling, but for days afterwards, that emotion would spring back up where you think of that book and you think, fuck, shit.
Yeah. It proper knocks the wind out of you. It really does.
I've ordered his other book.
Oh, you're getting, it's Batman. Yeah, I've ordered it. Came out 2018. Again, that's another one that sounds very... Because it's about, isn't it, a mall abduction, yeah. I think. Very much reminiscent of kind of like the, I don't know if it's like the Jamie Bulger case or not. I didn't read much into it, but I know it's a child being abducted from a mall. So, that much I do
I
know.
I don't do stuff with kids.
No.
You know that I don't like kid stuff. You know, that's why I didn't like Playground.
That's your line.
Yeah, I'm really uncomfortable with it. I don't like it. I probably, if someone had explained this book to me, I probably would have skipped it.
No, I don't think you would have read it, honestly.
I agree with you. I probably would have gone, nah, it's not for me. But fuck me, this is one of the best books I have read in years and years. I mean, I showed you the book with all my tabs in it, all my stickies in it, and it was like a rainbow.
it was more tabs than pages.
We sound, like Annette said, really patchy and really sketchy, but that's because this is one of those books that I just, every single fucking page is significant.
It's so true, because we immediately, as soon as I finished, we had the discussion and we went through the book. And I mean, even after this, I'm guaranteeing we're going to be talking more about it.
Yeah.
Just because there's just so much you, and if you are going to listen to, if you have someone that you can share it with, you need to share it with them. Even if they don't read, maybe hunt down the No Sleep podcast episodes and listen to those. If you don't want to invest in the book, try those. I mean, I haven't listened to myself. I think I might actually go back and give them a try. But honestly, this is something you need to be able to talk to someone about.
Yeah.
You need to be able to discuss it. And if you don't have anyone that you could talk to that's not going to be into that kind of thing, you can message us on
all
Facebook.
Day long.
You can send us emails, because we will not be shy at talking about this book,
definitely
honest to God.
Not. I'm 100%. I mean, in summary, when I was trying to type up a review potentially for Goodreads, I listed it as a chilling tale of childhood trauma, obsession, the lingering effects of past events on the present, that weaves together elements of horror and mystery with a gothic undertone to create something that's extremely unsettling that will linger with you well past the last page.
Yeah.
I think that's it, isn't it?
I don't think we could heap any more on this, can we, if we tried, without giving away anything.
So we're sorry that it's a really light review, but you go read it. Don't pretend to have read it. Go
Please.
Read it. This is not one that we're saying, yeah, we'll give you enough to skim by at a party. No, you need to go and read it.
Get out there, get it read. It needs to be done.
Do it now. In that case, we're going to love and leave you. It's actually making me depressed remembering the book. I feel all deflated and sad again, because now I've remembered the ending in detail and it made me sad.
Oh, don't be sad.
At least I didn't cry.
It's okay. No, not this time. Probably later. But it kicks
after the second glass of wine.
Cheers.
So, yes, thank you everybody for listening, and we will see you next time. Please, 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 please go and read it.
Yes, thank you so much for listening. And as I said, always contact us if you need to talk to someone about this book. We are happy to reply. 100%. Okay, guys, take care.
Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh